grace and peace to you from our Father and our Lord Christ. Amen. I would like for you to take a moment to think about this question that I'm about to ask. Now, for some of you, you may conjure up an answer just like that. For others of you, you may take a while, or you really have to jog your memory, but do think about it. Here's the question. What's the toughest fight you've ever been in, and who won? Now, maybe for some of you, it was a time when you and another kid went at it, went toe-to-toe at the playground, throwing punches and wrestling on the ground. For others, you may have been caught up in a bar fight and ended up with a broken jaw. Been there, did that. Or maybe you served in the military and were caught in a gun battle where the bullets were flying and whizzing by and you're literally fighting for your life. Well, here's the thing. No matter how bad that fight that you were in must have been, it's not as dangerous as the one that you and I are constantly fighting daily. Sure, it's a fight. It's a battle that may not result in broken bones or even loss of life, but it's a fight that will determine whether our souls will get to spend all eternity with God or apart from God. And the enemy we are fighting is not the neighborhood bully or some radical terrorist. No, what we're up against is the devil himself. As the Apostle Paul puts it, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And Peter puts it even more bluntly, saying, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Yes, Satan or the devil is fighting daily to lead us into sin and away from God. And if we're honest, friends, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll admit that all too often we're losing those battles against the devil, against Satan. But the good news is there is someone who has already fought every battle against Satan or the devil and has won every one of them for us. That's Jesus. And having done so, Jesus has not only given us hope for the future, but he has also given us some tactics, some strategies as to how can we win our own battles against the enemy in our everyday lives. So on this first Sunday of our Lenten journey, I'm starting a 3-part sermon series on the devil's temptations or the devil's attempts to tempt Jesus, as recorded in the Gospel of Luke. It is my hope that by taking and addressing each of these temptations of Jesus a Sunday at a time, it will help us recognize and deal with our own satanic temptations. So this morning, we turn our attention to Luke's account of one of the devil's attempts to test or to tempt our Lord in the wilderness. Our text begins, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Now, I hope that you caught in that opening phrase or opening sentences of first two verses of chapter 4. I hope you caught that the whole confrontation in the wilderness between Jesus and the devil was something that God not only allowed Jesus to endure, but it was something that God wanted Jesus to endure. It was as if God was saying to Jesus, okay, son, you are the Messiah. And one, the one who will rescue humanity from hell. Now you're going to have to defeat the one who currently holds humanity captive, Satan himself. So we see right off the gate, God sends his only son into the wilderness to be tested, to be tempted, to do battle for you, for us, for all humanity. Luke tells us that the devil tempted Jesus throughout the course of all 40 days without food. This would suggest to us that the temptations recorded in the Gospels are only three of possible many temptations that Jesus endured in all of those 40 days. So in verse 3, Luke writes, the devil said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Now I want you to notice three tactics, three strategies that the devil uses here in this one particular temptation. First, the devil tries to sow seeds of doubt. He tries to sow seeds of doubt in Jesus' mind, questioning his identity, saying, well, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, that is, if you truly are the Son of God. It's as if he's taunting Jesus, saying, if you have this special connection to God, if your Father, if your Heavenly Father is truly your Father and he loves you, then why is he putting you through this misery? Why is he forcing you to spend 40 days starving out here in the desert if you are truly loved by your Father? Friends, doesn't the devil still use the same tactics to us today? The devil likes to whisper in our ears, if God really loves you, if God really is all powerful, then why is your life so hard, so difficult? If you truly are the son and children of God, why are you struggling with your health issues? If God really loves you, then why did he have your loved one die? Are you sure you are a child of God, if God ever exists at all? These are the devil's whispers, even in our day and time, sowing seeds of doubts in us, trying to separate, pull us apart from the relationship, the loving relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. That's the same tactics that the devil used with Jesus, and he still uses today toward us. He tries to get us to question whether God cares about us, whether God loves us at all, whether he really has our best interests in mind. That's the first, sowing seeds of doubts in our minds. The second tactic that the devil uses, that he tries to get us to take the easy way out. He certainly tried to get Jesus to take the easy way out. Satan says, in effect, if you really are the Son of God, then why don't you do something to alleviate your pain? To get rid of your misery, Jesus. Why should you suffer like this? Come on, do something to make your life easier. You deserve it. It's not harming anyone. Does that sound familiar? It should, because the devil still uses this tactic towards us today. He says, go ahead, make your life easier. Take the shortcut. Nobody's going to know. No one will know or will care. Go ahead. Just, if you don't want to go to work today, then don't. Or if your marriage is causing you pain and misery, well, just walk away from it. After all, wouldn't God want you to be happy? Besides, if you break your marriage vows, God will forgive you eventually, wouldn't he? Now, you realize who's talking here, don't you? The devil, it's what I call satanic talk. And he still uses the same tactics today, just as he used them 2,000 years ago with Jesus. Every day, the devil tempts us to take the easy way out, to do what feels good rather than what God wants. And lastly, out of this first temptation recorded in the Gospel of Luke, lastly, the devil will, as one of his tactics, the devil will always tailor his temptations to fit the target, you and I. In other words, he hits us where we are the weakest. And that was certainly true with Jesus, wasn't it? After Jesus has gone without food for 40-some days, then Satan comes and tempts him with what? With food. Satan knows what Jesus' human body would be craving for. Now how about us? Doesn't the devil use the same tactics on us today? He finds our weakest points, our weak spots, whether it be food, finances, our own health issues, and he hones in and tailors his temptation to fit that target. He knows our weaknesses and uses them to his advantage. That's what makes the devil a coward. Preys on the weak. But notice that even though Satan did that to Jesus, Jesus had the perfect defense to counter the devil's temptation. Jesus, as Susan pointed out in the children's sermon, Jesus points back to Scripture. He says to Satan, it is written. It is written in the Word of God in the Scripture, one does not live by bread alone. It's as if Jesus was saying to the devil, far more important than food for my stomach is doing what God would have me do. I can't overemphasize the importance of God's people knowing the Word of God, Scripture. Scripture is the first and foremost ways that we get to know and develop relationship with God. Scripture is the first and foremost way that we are revealed to who God is and how God loves us. And if we know it not, if we do not take the time to study, to be engaged in it, we fall prey to the temptations of the evil one. That's why I emphasize and encourage people to do devotion, daily devotions, attend Bible study classes, Sunday schools. Oh, how I wish the entire congregants of our Saviors will invest themselves into the studying of the Word on a daily, if not weekly, basis. It is the most effective defense against the temptation of the evil one. So what does this mean for our battle against the devil? Well, friends, it means that when the devil leads us to question whether God really loves us, or when the devil tempts us to take the path of self-indulgence or shortcuts, and when he tempts us to abuse the freedom that God has given us, that's when we need to turn to God. That's when we need to turn into the Scripture, into the Word of God, and ask God, God, what would you have me do? What is your will for my life, for this situation? And most importantly, that's when we're to recall and claim that our elder brother, Jesus of Nazareth, has defeated and won against the devil and its satanic tactics. Friends, as children of God, we are to cling and to claim victory in Jesus. We are to cling and claim victory in Jesus over any whispers of doubt that this devil will implant in us. Any temptation to take the shortcut, the easy way, any temptation that will reveal our weakest points, our weakest spots. Declare that you are a child of God. Yes, there might still be some doubt in your mind, but Jesus says all you need is a faith as big as a mustard seed, and that should be sufficient to make the devil flee. The book of James chapter 4 tells us that speak against the devil and he will flee from you. And that is precisely what we do when we claim the authority of Scripture and the Word of Jesus at the center of our very being. Declare that you are a child of the Most High God, and the devil's lures and cunnings will have no power over God's children. Thanks and praise to Jesus for that. But of course, we know how the story goes. Satan doesn't give up that easily. He didn't give up that easily on Jesus. He certainly will not give that up that easily to us. So next Sunday, we'll continue to explore and pay attention to the other temptation attempts that the devil had on Jesus and how they apply to us and what tactics and strategies we are to employ to ward off, to expel, and to exercise the influence of the evil one. So come on back next Sunday. I'll be here. I hope you will. And let's continue to address this as we continue in our Lenten journey. Amen.